Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. I'm feeling a lot more positive because I just had a big vat of the delicious gumbo. We're here at Cooper's North. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, our friends at Back to the Future Scratch-Offs. We got the giveaway. Had some winners out here as well. We're going to be wrapping things up here. They're doing a big LLS turn here. We've had Nick out and Mike talking about LLS, and Kate Paris has been a part of that, and the Visionary of the Year and all that. This guy, I've known him since before Accelerant. He's also an Accelerant member. If you don't know that, Google that up. It's a great local networking event, but around town, you've been ducking me, dude. I mean, what are roofs? We got roofs on fire. We got solar. What's going on? Bill Cole is here. Yeah. Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy, our friend, sponsor, and the sponsor of the WNST Tech Service. I want to send some more texts out to get more pitching is what I need to do right now. We need more pitching.
All right. Well, whatever. There'll be more texts coming about something. Just wait a day.
How's your spring, man? Your kids playing sports. What's happening?
Pretty normal soccer stuff, trying to fit in some basketball, not too much going on. This work's been busy, it was a rough winter. We'd been spoiled the last couple of years and had real mild winters, so we kind of worked through the winter. This winter was
very cold.
Very cold. So
but everything not a just lot of stacks snow, up. Though, right?
More than you think, and then even if you get 2 or 3 inches and then it's
snow
10
ends
degrees,
it just snow screws a roofing anywhere. Job up, right?
Yeah, and it just doesn't go anywhere.
You just can't work that day, right?
That day or until it all melts, right? So, I don't have labor in there to go and shovel the roof off. So
well, I had never thought about it. I've known you a long time.
Hard.
So snow on the roof, you don't just shovel it off and keep working.
I mean, sometimes.
It's not like my driveway or your carport.
No, you kind of let nature take its course. What? Usually in Maryland, right? Because it'll snow, and then 2 days later, it's 45, and it all melts. So we don't typically have to worry about that.
Well, I have NFL draft. I have the Orioles are playing every day. So the sports part of me, it's kind of taking care of itself, and the Orioles are writing their own story, and the Ravens will figure out Tucker and all that. But Friday night, I'm not going to be watching the draft, at least in the early part, because I'm going to be doing one of your favorite things. I've talked to Mike Evitz and the crew over at the Maryland Zoo. I keep wanting to call it the Baltimore Zoo. The sign out on 83 still says Baltimore Zoo. I found that out. And their light thing, spectacular nighttime. Have you done it yet?
No, I have not.
I'm doing it tomorrow night. I'm doing it Friday night. What do you know?
It's going to be awesome. I think you'll be completely – it will exceed your expectations. I don't think – and they've been pretty consistent about that when they've done these sort of – one-off, kind of change the zoo a little bit and make it fresh and new and exciting. They did this dinosaur thing, and I went and I didn't have very high expectations because they're whatever.
It's dinosaurs.
Yeah. It was awesome. It was, super cool.
And you don't even have little kids anymore.
Yeah, so.
You are a little. I've gone to the zoo with you every year. You're like a child at the zoo.
That
snow leopard freaked you out, didn't it?
Yeah, that was a good one. They consistently outperform and exceed expectations, and this light show seems to be just another example of that. So I love the fact that Kirby and Shannon and that they just bring energy and ideas and new stuff and they keep it fresh and, and there's always the animals, right? And, there's a new animal. Did you know that? Did you know that?
Oh, it was a baby giraffe that was born, right?
Yeah.
See, I keep up
with
his stuff, right?
Good job.
I don't even have notes. I'm working
with
that.
Very exciting. I mean, I think everybody loves giraffes. They're pretty awesome.
Well, Kirby said it was like a surprise, right? I don't know how you get surprised with a baby giraffe, but.
Yeah, I don't know how much, that struck me as odd as well.
You have this thing about animals and the zoo that is very childlike for you. And I talked to you about different things like sports and stuff. And full disclosure, Bill here would have been me had his life gone wrong and his family not been in roofing. Because you were an intern at my radio station 26, 27 years ago when you were younger and I was younger. And sports, you were on road trips of mine in Nashville. Yeah. You went to Ravens games and all that. I feel like you've peeled away from sports a little bit in the last decade or two. Like, just in a general, as you've gotten older and grayer and losing your hair and your kids get older, you would way rather go see a light show at the zoo for $25 with your family than to deal with tailgating and football. There's something about you
I don't know.
That's changing.
Well, yeah, so I'll
me too, by the way.
I'll be honest.
This is the second ownership group that's trying to tell me to not be a baseball fan. At some point, guess what? I just might not be a baseball fan. Yeah, it might just stick, you know, if they treat me like shit long enough.
I spent time today trying to understand what it looks like to try and get into CFG for the Mystics and the Fever game at the end of May.
$200
Caitlin Clark. Oh, I mean, it's all over the place. I couldn't believe it. I found two tickets courtside, right, because I'm just curious. $6,000 WNBA game.
I don't know who's courtside, buying that.
Maybe nobody, right? Maybe that's a stupid number and no one will ever buy it. But I was blown away.
The night she played at Xfinity with you, with Iowa,
yeah,
tickets were $100 that night when she was her last year, and it was a solid $100. I mean, it was like packed. Right. To get in to see her play college was $100.
We went down to College Park when the NCAA, when they hosted in the first round or whatever, and we went to that first round game, Saturday day game. I never knew this. They sell like general admission tickets for all but like three sections. So you just get a ticket and you go sit wherever you want, other than these three sections.
For the ladies,
yeah,
right? Okay.
Yeah. And even the three sections, like I got tickets there. We sat super close. It was super fun. It was pretty crowded. Like, I am extremely curious about the women's games, having daughters, and now it's the curiosity's gotten to a point where the business side of it is very intriguing to me because it's a business on the come.
There's a growth here.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's
as opposed
it's
to where the Orioles
legitimate.
Are, where they're going to have to do a lot to grow again.
And, like, you know, it's different. So if you watch a woman's basketball game versus a men's basketball game, it's different. It's a different game.
It's below
the
net.
The skills are
sure.
different.
Yeah.
The what it requires to be good is different. And it's fun to watch. And they're competitive. And, you know, I mean, it gets all the juices going. And, you know, you learn a couple names and you root for
so
somebody.
So how much are you really going to spend on seeing Caitlin Clark play at CFG Bank?
I don't know. That's TBD. It's TBD.
You got a limit? Is this like Taylor Swift where you're like, eh, you know? Does your daughter need to see her
they
play?
Don't know,
or are you
they don't
this?
Know yet. They
oh,
don't know yet. So if I tell them yes, then it'll be like
you have to go.
Yeah.
Then you have to fork over.
Yeah.
So instead, when you find it for $75, like you should.
I don't know. Is this really? I mean, is Caitlin Clark like Michael Jordan? Like, am I supposed to?
Are there 12,000 people going to pay $200 to see
her
play?
Yeah. I mean,
ball?
Like, is it like? Is that the deal? I don't know.
Well, Taylor Swift is. I promise you that. You knew that though. You found that out.
She is confirmed.
Well, I'm doing the zoo thing, and
so I want to.
But
clarify.
You love animals.
Yeah.
You,
well, I want to clarify something about the zoo because I do like the animals, but it really is not about the animals for me. So the zoo for me is more about the stability of our community, and like the important role we have in protecting historical institutions. That are like the fabric of our community. You know that where the you know the park and where it sits and the neighborhoods that surround it and like we have to have
that
can
has
you imagine,
to be strong, right?
Yeah, can you imagine if we lost that and something were to happen and that wasn't like that's a big problem. It's the third oldest zoo in the country. Like, I feel responsible. Like, I don't want it to go away on my watch. Like, if
so
it's just
when
a little
David
bit of love.
David Rubenstein says he bought the Orioles to be a philanthropy, the zoo is truly a philanthropy. It's truly it's a civic asset. It's a community asset. It's a teaching asset.
Yeah.
More than that, it's also outside. It involves walking. It involves so much education. You can't go to the zoo unless you're a complete clod and not learn something about the animals.
The people that are there
to teach you about
top
these animals.
Top notch. They're amazing. People don't understand the amount of sustainability work that goes on behind the
feeding
scenes.
Feeding them, cleaning them,
just
keeping
even,
them healthy.
Even out there in the universe, how we're protecting animals and, you know, what the ecosystems that we're building. So I did have a really good experience with my kids, with volunteers, going around the zoo. I always tell people go on a rainy day because there's nobody there. And, like, you get all the attention.
I don't like to be outside in the rain. I'm not going on a rainy day.
Pick one of those like
I was told go when it
days.
Snows because the animals play in the snow. That's fine.
That is another interesting thing. But the misting, you know, 60 degrees and misting is really good because you get all the volunteers and they have their undivided attention.
Yeah.
They tell you everything. They teach you everything. My kids had a wonderful time. So,
but they got wet.
Kind of. Kind of. Like, we don't melt. We don't melt.
So, you know, the animal thing, my wife loves animals. So anything that's, like, involved in that, I probably shouldn't say this out loud because it's true, but, like, she feeds the animals, like the squirrels and she's big into birding. You know, we have Orioles now that have come back. Yeah. I haven't seen one yet, but the Orioles are back right now, and I'm looking for the little orange-bellied Oriole. But we have a chipmunk that she has taken. The chipmunk's taken a shine to her. The chipmunk comes to the door and will eat out of her hand.
Wow.
Now, this happens every day. This has been going on for weeks.
She's committed.
That there is a chipmunk that eats from her hand. You can't even get that at the zoo.
Chip or Dale? Which one is it?
I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. He's kind of I think it's a dude. He's kind of frisky, runs off. Nothing better than chipmunks, but, you know, you could say, well, I fed a pigeon or I fed a squirrel. Everybody's done that or whatever.
Yeah, chipmunks are pretty special, man. That's pretty hard
to find.
I didn't
realize you could feed a chipmunk from your hand and train a chipmunk. Now, of course, our cat has some other ideas for the chipmunk.
Yeah.
Bill Cole is here. We're at Cooper's North, not Cooper's in Fells Point, not at Sláinte, where we'll be. I did have the Sláinte delicious gumbo here that they serve at Cooper's North, and the fish tacos are great here, the burgers, all that stuff. All that brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Back to the Future is the promotion we're on right now. Handing these out. It's been a nice batch. All right, springtime. We've done animals. We've done the zoo. We've done roofs. We've done your miserable life in roofs in the winter and all that stuff. Give me a little economic thing here for you. Tariffs and equipment and where things come from. Give me how is this affecting you? Because I'm trying to talk to everybody in business about this, because I think not all your products come from America, correct?
Yeah. So most of ours do, actually, strangely.
Okay, good.
I am a big backup plan guy. Like, we have backup plans for our backup plans, and I think that if I had to pick one of the reasons why, you know, our company's lasted over 100 years is because of that sort of cautious backup plans for the backup plans.
Grandfather taught you that?
Somebody, something. Right. And it, you know, that helped a lot in COVID and the housing boom and bust and all that, and like all that stuff. You know, if there's one thing that I am attempting to really just lean into, is that I believe Trump is consistent, and the consistency comes from he's going to say ridiculously outlandish things, and then reality is somewhere much closer to normal. So in this instance,
so what he's going to try and talk about, what he's going to get away with, he'll get away. He's a criminal. He'll get away with as much as he can, but there to the point where you push back, and that's where the courts, that's where CBS and 60 Minutes, that's where breaking the law and for journalists and being invested. I agree with everything you're saying, but the idea is I'm going to say something that's illegal and try to do something that's illegal. It's then up to you to stop that person from doing that. And in our society, we call the police to do that, or we do something like that. I don't know where we are with that when you're breaking the law.
I knew if I brought his name up, it would set you off.
Well, F that
don't
guy.
Worry
I
about
mean, you know,
don't worry about the legal. Yeah. It's not the legal part. That's not where I'm at. Where I'm at is he's a deal guy. He gets his Joneses from doing deals. He wants to win the deal. It's what makes him get out of bed every day, right? But his methodology is, I'm going to start this negotiation in a completely ridiculous place. And everybody's like, oh my God, if he does that, do you know how many times a car crosses the border and it's 25% tariff every single time it goes back and forth, da 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 da? But they never land there, right? So consistently, they don't land there. So I, for better or worse,
as a citizen, I'd say he's full of shit. I mean, that's what
he is. But you can be full of shit and we can still negotiate, right? Like, I think you're full of shit. How about you
running a
zero
country when you're dealing with trust with the rest of the world?
Yeah.
It's not a good policy. It's poor.
It's a problem.
It's poor.
I don't.
It's why we've never elected anybody like this, because it would blow the country up. It wouldn't be good for the country. Good for the country.
We don't know that.
I know that.
Because this is in the economic realm.
You see the color of my skin?
It's the economic. Trust me. It's the economic discussion.
This is where being a white guy and being everything else is different.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's very fair.
The economic discussion, you have to separate the different discussions, because it has different – he doesn't act different, which is what's really scary, but it has different consequences, right? You can be blusterous and BS, with tariffs, right, and get us to a good deal somewhere.
But until my wife loses 22% of her 401k in 2 days because of this stuff. That's the issue. That's the panic button, right? The panic button is destroying the stock market. For most people working and living and looking at the things that they've saved in their life, that's where the panic is. The panic is when taking Social Security away from older people. That's where the panic is. The panic is taking social service away. I have a friend
who's... Your 401k is only ever allowed to go up?
No. It's just not allowed to forcibly go down in 2 days because of something stupid.
Well, he didn't forcibly do anything. He attempted to tariff another country and started to talk about policy changes.
And everyone who's read a book thinks it's a bad idea. Everyone who's read a book.
Fair enough.
Never read a book.
Fair enough. And a whole bunch of people went and sold stock because of that. But did that turn out to be true? Right.
Well, the losses were. But go ahead.
Well, no, because as soon as he
the stock market.
Backpedaled off the tariff thing and got more reasonable with his discussion, the stock market shot back up. Like if you're watching your 401k and the president says something and it has a negative effect on your 401k and that bothers you, you should probably look and figure out what your 401k is invested in because you're a risk adverse person. Crazy stuff's going to go on all the time.
I understand.
You know
that.
What I mean? But COVID was crazy.
But the causation.
Housing bubble. Crazy. Crazy.
Setting the house on fire and then walking out and saying.
But that's who he is. I don't know why people reacted that way. He's a knucklehead. He's been saying crazy stuff since as long as people have been paying
attention to
him.
I'm just wondering what it does to your business, but you're telling me you've created a psychological barrier
I have.
From what is and what could be and what is said.
I do not allow myself to read the rhetoric and go falling
down a hill and freak out
every single time he says something because I don't have the energy for that.
There's
it's
nothing
not
about it that's made our country better. Nothing in any walk that I go to, including the people that support him, be taking on the abusive characteristics of that human.
Okay.
And because of that, it's created a fissure in our society. I'm telling you, in my world, in the world I live in,
I know
people of color,
we talk
women.
Enough.
Yeah,
I know.
It's not good.
I'm not taking the bait on this because in order for us to have a proper discussion,
we need a beer.
We're
in a perfect place to do it.
We need like 4 hours because if I say 15 minutes worth of stuff to argue with you. It gets
That's
cut
right.
off,
You're
and then
of the
people
few
fully
people
don't
I will talk
understand.
With the felon about.
I understand
because I respect you enough to at least hear, and you roll with enough Trump people in your world that you hear the rhetoric. I have sort of locked the rhetoric out when I begin a conversation with a lifelong friend, and they begin the conversation and telling me, "Well, he won the 2020 election." I'm like, "It's over.
Yeah.
Take the keys," as Ekman would say.
Any, right.
Like that's the end of. That's where those conversations begin in Middle River and Dundalk and Bel Air for
me.
I get it. That's how they come at me, right?
I understand.
That's problematic.
It is.
I can talk about any number of issues. I can't talk about fiction. You know what I mean? I can't talk about beliefs you have that are, if you think the world is flat, we're having,
yeah,
I don't have a
well,
basis
I get
for
it.
A conversation on that.
I'm not taking the bait because honestly, I'm not really paying attention.
Right on.
I don't
but it's affecting
it
business. It is affecting business to some degree. It's affecting the psychology of the country. That's where I'm taking it. I'm not trying to say, right, he's the president, he's going to be the president until he's not, but
I
get that.
I agree that it is affecting the psychology of the country. However, I am really disappointed at how easily we allow ourselves to go into crisis mode. Like, we are now just like, everything that happens is going to be a crisis. And that's
well,
not
you do
true.
Know if there's a pandemic, he'll lie to you about it and disband the government trying to, you know, like, that. We saw that the first time. So, like, again, there was a lot of things that made him unelectable the second time. But, like, indicting, my wife went to the COVID page this morning. My wife went to the COVID page in America, the American government's COVID page, COVID information page. It is now it was all a ruse and a farce. It was all Anthony Fauci. She showed it to me this morning. I went to the page. They've indicted Anthony Fauci on the COVID page in saying that it was all his fault.
I find this portion of our discussion
it's unbelievable.
To be completely useless because we're not getting anywhere. You asked me if it's affecting business. I haven't had a single contract pulled.
Good.
Right?
I love hearing this.
I haven't had someone tell me, well.
So you're saying nobody's taking him seriously.
That's sort of what I encourage.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm not saying that the things he's doing aren't going to have consequences. They totally are. And like,
and if you're getting fired at Social Security, if you're getting fired in NSA, then
the chainsaw at USAID, like that definitely affected people, and I get it. And there's not a lot of excuses, and I don't even, again, we need 4 hours to fully unpack stuff.
But we're good people. We want good things to happen here. When I see bad people doing bad things to good people, that's when my parents and me burr up. You know what I mean?
The argument you're going to get as you walk around is, Ness, nobody disagrees that the government is inefficient, that there's too many people, that they waste money. Like, everybody agrees with that. So it's just like a non-starter argument, right? Because none of us have the numbers. None of us get into the details.
Honestly, you and I talk about Trump till we're blue in the face, but the real problem here for everybody I talk to is in the state. And that's not a Democrat or Republican problem. That's a budget issue and Kerwin. I had Tom Quirk out, former councilman, who's a Democrat, but really would caucus with Republicans on fiscal issues, talking about everything that Todd Marks has been crazy about the advertising tax. And obviously it affects my business. I don't have a lobby, but I'm not sure the guy running the state government here really understands money and budgets. And that's been sort of borne out down in Annapolis the last 3 months, that the state problems we have are much closer to home. I believe that from a taxation standpoint and from a evacuation standpoint, that if you were too rich over at Cole Roofing and you were 10 years older, you'd say, I'm just out of here because I'm not going to get taxed to death in Maryland. Right. And that's a real, real issue.
No, I can totally agree with you that as I make my way around this town and the people I talk to, they do seemingly have a bigger focus on concerns about the state than the federal government. And that should be appropriate, right?
Well, like, you and I get together like and make
the government
go down
is
the
structured,
beach.
The way the government is structured is we really should be like in our community.
Better at local.
And then, right. And then it just kind of keeps building, and things that the federal government are doing should be built and come out of all that local politics that pushes up and pushes up and pushes
strong
up.
Strong communities, and you don't need much from the federal government, right? Because you got jobs, you got housing, you got employment. You know, you've got all of that going on in whatever you would think is the strongest community in the country. Whatever, not the richest, but the one that's functioning well, paying its bills, employment under 3%. You know, kids are getting educated. Wherever that place is, that's good local government, and that's a place where the federal government doesn't have to come in and be as helpful as, let's say, Mississippi, where they're 51st in education, or Oklahoma, where they're 53rd in whatever there are behind Puerto Rico and stuff. Like, so when I see states that are struggling, that really is where the federal government has to come in and help farmers and help things.
Yeah, you have accused me of being a libertarian numerous times when we've talked, and I can't argue.
You're not as crazy as libertarians.
I can't argue too much. I mean,
you're like libertarian,
in my mind,
live light.
In my mind, like the federal government has to protect us from other sovereign nations. Like, that's their job. There is a role for the federal government around fiscal policy and monetary, and I'm not smart enough. I didn't, you know, get enough classes to.
That's why I'm going to have Anurban Basu on.
So, like, you know, protect my liberties, keep the trust equation that you and I have that says a dollar's a dollar, right? Like, if a dollar isn't really a dollar anymore, we have bigger problems.
Can I sell you some Bitcoin? Because the president's into that too. So, you know, that devalues our dollar. But go ahead.
The Bitcoin. See, people want to make that controversy too, and it doesn't have to be. Like, if I sell you a Brett Favre autographed jersey for $300, guess what that Brett Favre autographed jersey's worth?
I feel like I got value.
$300. Right. It's worth $300 because you were willing to bet. That's what Bitcoin is. It's nothing else. If you got some and I want some and we agree want to pay, it's done. Why, you know?
I got half a bowl of gumbo. What do you give me?
Probably nothing.
Probably a lot because it's delicious.
I'll get my own.
No, get a whole bowl. Get your own.
The only other thing about, well, because again, we can't talk about anything in short. We need long. The problem with Bitcoin is that it was used for illegal activity. So you have to recognize that that is what it is and deal with that. But I don't think that means you should get rid of it.
Well, the best part is I don't have to worry about you doing anything illegal because he's on the up and up. Bill Cole is here, Cole Roofing, Gordian Energy. Give me some solar education here because I met a fellow here a little earlier, said he sold solar. And I'm like, I'm meeting more people in the world that when I ask them what they do, they're in a solar space. When I met you 15 years ago, I mean, as a sponsor, you were solar. The only thing I knew was the solar agitator and the man with the golden gun with James Bond. Right. I know I brought that up, but yeah. Solar's a thing.
It is. It's going gangbuster. So solar as a business, especially the way we're doing it, which is around community solar and solar farms and kind of these.
Well, we hear so much about BGE, like, and energy cost and all of that, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a tail to solar that means right now there's a lot of activity that really began its journey after COVID and, like, when they passed the IRA, Inflation Reduction Act. Like, that kind of got a whole bunch started, and then it just takes, because we don't know what we're doing because we're still infantile in this universe, like, 18 months, 24 months for those projects to, like,
hit the street,
hit dirt, and right. Let's start shoveling stuff. So there's a big swing
right
now. My concern in the solar is that the sort of restarting that would occur, right, when you create chaos in the marketplace and Trump gets elected and he's overt about his comments about, you know, like,
coal.
Isn't good. Yeah. People are skeptical, right? There's chaos. So they're like, all right, where am I going to go do work? When am I going to put my work? Where am I going to put my money to work? I don't know what I'm going to get with him right now. So I'm going to move elsewhere. So I think that's what's going on sort of in the side. Like, there's enough established businesses who are just a machine, right? Need solar, build solar, turn solar on, next job. So there's a bunch of us that are like that. But then there's a whole bunch of people who are kind of like playing in the margins. They know a farmer. He doesn't want to farm anymore. Hey, man, you ever thought about solar? And all of a sudden, this guy's like a deal maker, right? And now he's got to go find a solar company that can help get it together and a finance company. There's a lot of people like that.
Are farmers doing okay in that world?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a great deal for farmers. I mean, forget the
concept of anything, right?
Preserving agriculture land and all that. Like, that's not what we're debating. I'm debating that if a tenant farmer gets $300 for soybeans and he gets $1,500 for solar, that's better for him. He doesn't have to do anything. Like, he wasn't doing anything anyway because it was a tenant farmer. But so, yes, it's good. We don't have zoning figured out. We don't, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like we think about, hey, you're not allowed to put townhouses here or you can't put a shopping center there. Like, we kind of think about that stuff and to our local government concept.
Well, I've always thought about power. Power to me is I come into Cooper's and I plug in, and I don't think about what it's costing Patrick for me to be plugged in right now. The bill comes every month. We've become desensitized to how and where and what until BGE tries to stick it up your backside and you need the government to go in and protect yourself. Or in places like, even, remember California got real expensive on energy and different stuff like that.
Still is very expensive.
Water's that way in a lot of places as well. You know, but the power part of it, it feels very automated. It feels like a sort of a set cost to many of us. Goes up in a a little more air conditioned in the summer, winter, heat, like all that. But there is a point for you saving people money, and if you haven't considered it, especially if you have a business and you have the space, you should at least know. That's always your thing, right? Know what you're getting, right?
Yes, that is 100% what I tell people all the time.
Know the math.
Yeah.
Do the math.
I will make one comment about, you know, rising prices and everything costing more and all that. Like, the only silver lining that I always try and remind myself with that is that innovation comes when the pain gets big enough that we innovate. And we're lazy creatures fundamentally, right? Like, if you make it easy for us, we'll just keep doing easy. The minute it gets hard, all of a sudden that good old-fashioned American ingenuity shows up, and we figure out a better, cheaper, faster way to do it. And I think that our country's in that mode right now. Like, if you're going to tariff everything, I'm going to figure out how to make it here for cheaper. If you're going to, you know, raise my price of electricity, I'm going to go find out about solar. If you're going to make gas prices super high, well, I'm going to do EVs. Like, there's an element in our society right now where, I guess maybe this is just too much optimism, but, like, I really hope this is, like, the birth of, or the rebirth of, you know, American innovation, the ingenuity. Like, when was the last time something really crazy? I mean, AI, I guess, is driving it, but, like, we can come up with some really good stuff. We should be making more stuff here, right? Like we should be making more of our own stuff.
Like what?
Anything. I listened to a podcast the other day. Guy wanted to make a $7 t-shirt, right? Because he wants to compete. He wants to make it in America. Didn't think it was possible. 6 months later, he's making a $7 t-shirt with cotton grown in North Carolina, the manufacturing facility, you know, like, he figured it out. We thought the only place you could get a $7 t-shirt was from China. Well, this guy made me put his head down, and he figured it out. We should be doing that. There's no reason why we can't do that.
All right.
Right?
Look for the American label, as long as it's not on your MAGA hat. He is Bill Cole. He is Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. He helps us put this thing together. He also sponsors our WNSD Tech Service, which we hope is good with acquisitions all weekend for the NFL and for the NFL draft and spring and summer. You got any vacation? You do anything good? I mean, you're going to Vegas, right? We're doing Vegas?
We're doing Vegas. I'm excited to go.
I hope it's
time.
Not 130 this time.
Me
That's
too.
All. You
Me
know?
Too. Yeah.
Just 92, 95, something reasonable. Two digits, not three digits, right?
That'll be good. I'm getting mixed reports. Like, some people saying they aren't going, some people are saying they're going. So
Howard Perlow's coming good. On next week at Coco, so we're going to get a report on the Maryland party, as it
is,
right?
Yep. That is what it's called.
Well, you told me for years I should go. I went once, and now you got me on the cusp of going back.
Yeah. Well, we're going.
Vegas, baby.
It's booked.
That's it. All right. Well, pictures will be there. My big appreciation to Patrick and everybody out here at Russell's. Patrick Russell and everybody at Cooper's for putting this thing together, and our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have the Back to the Future scratch-offs. I will have them at Coco's next week with Howard Perlow. Also going to be joined by Jamie Costello. Senator Corey McCrae is going to be with us at Coco's next Wednesday. And then on the 7th of May, we will be at Red Brick Station in White Marsh. I mean, talk about ingenuity. I went to Bill Blocker. 1998, 90, whenever they opened, 97, 98, I moved out there. First thing I said was, outdoor shopping in White Marsh? Who the hell's going to go to this place, this Avenue place? That was the first thing I said. And then he built a brewery. Nobody had a brewery then, right?
Wow.
And I went in there, and Nick's daughter's over here drinking Saranac root beer. He used to make root beer over there, and he made root beer, which I would drink, and he made all these other beers there in Red Brick Station. I'm talking turn of the, before you were old enough to drink, probably, right? Well, over there you were. And I would go in there, and I was Budweiser sponsored. And then I was Coors Light. I said, you can't get a Bud. We right. make our own beer.
Yeah.
How's this place ever going to survive?
Yeah,
you're going to make your own beer.
Sure.
Who's going to hang out here?
Ahead of his time.
30 years later.
Yeah, ahead of his time.
Plenty of people are drinking beer.
Absolutely.
So I owe Bill Blocker a massive apology.
Ahead of his time.
And I want to let him laugh at me on May 7th as well.
That's good.
Yeah, I was an innovator. AM radio. It's going to die is what it's going to do, except for here. Everybody's here. He is Bill Cole. I am Nestor. My big appreciation to all of our guests to come out. Nick's doing a great turn here. Nick Schultz for LLS. Also had Terry Beck here, who's a two-time leukemia survivor and the general manager. He'll get you a delicious cheeseburger out here. He's been trying to get me to do that seafood club thing. I just was not in the mood for a crab cake today, believe it or not. Even though it's a crab cake tour, I had the gumbo because it's delicious here. Signing off from Cooper's North. I am Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.